Welcome back into the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap, presented by Full Press Coverage. Sap, we've been putting this off for a couple of days, maybe because we wanted to feel out the teams and see what was going on, but we have to do our over and unders for the season. We do this every year, and we have, you know, we're not going to break tradition this year. So we thought, you know, let's just go down the line and spend a little bit of time talking about each team. And for you gamblers out there, you know, proceed with caution with our picks, because a lot of times they're not correct. Sap, how are you doing on the year so far with your picks?
Well, in the NFL, I've been incredible. I mean, like, I'm pinching myself. Unfortunately, I don't gamble anymore. But I'm 52-23 against the spread. And look, it's all documented. I'm not just throwing it out there as whatever, which is at like 69%, you know, in honor of David Bakhtiari, the Packers' fine left tackle who hasn't played all that much the last couple of years. But 52-23 against the spread. I really don't give out NBA picks till maybe the postseason, because from day to day, who knows who's going to play, you know, with load management and players skipping out on, you know, say the fourth game in five nights and all right. That stuff, and what teams are going to show up. Like, you even look at the Celtics the other night. They got up by 19 and then ended up losing by 18. Like, how do you even figure that out? But, yeah, so far in the NFL, the picks have been outstanding. I don't want to jinx myself, but so far, so good. But this is always a fun exercise, Jed. We're cheating a little bit. We're a week into the season, but I'm going to stick with my original picks before the season started. I'm not going to all of a sudden go crazy on the Portland Trailblazers because they're off to a good start, or – you know, some other team that's been disappointing say that they're going to go under. So we'll have fun with this.
For sure. So, Sap, you want to start with the teams that have the highest projections or the lowest projections?
Let's start with the highest in case we start running out of time. We don't have to spend too much time on the Utah Jazz, who, by the way, are off to a really good start, too. Portland and Utah, the top two teams in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah, no, break up the Utah Jazz there. Kelly Olynyk is you know, on fire. Lowry Markkanen, Danny Ainge is apoplectic that his team is playing so well.
Right.
He sees Victor Wembanyama slipping through his fingers. But yeah, we'll start with the teams with the highest projected win total, and that is the my very own Boston Celtics, Sap. 53.5 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go under on this, and I know it looks easy that they should go over this. They had 51 wins last year, but no Rob Williams till 2023. I think if they're smart, there's some load management that you push forward with Jason Tatum, who's played more minutes than any other player in the league since the bubble. So I think they're going to go under this. That doesn't mean they're going to have a bad season, but, you know, 50-32 gets them probably a 3 or 4 seed, but provided that Rob Williams is back and Jason Tatum has the proper rest, I think they certainly will have a deep run into the postseason. But for now, looking at the big picture, I'll go under 53.5.
Yeah, and I don't think they're built like a team that's going to be, you know, pull off a juggernaut season that's, you know, 60 plus wins. I know that's not 53.5, but I just think, like you said, the Rob Williams thing is a factor. They probably this year are going to want to rest Tatum, as you mentioned, a little bit more. You're gelling with a new coach, so I think under is safe, but I think it'll be pretty close to that number, Sap. After that, Celtics are the Milwaukee Bucks with 52.5, and the Phoenix Suns and the Clippers all at 52.5. So of those three teams, Sep, how are you looking at it?
I like Milwaukee over 52.5. They play defense every night. Giannis will play 72 games. I think he wants to recapture his MVP, which he didn't win the last 2 years. Nikola Jokic won it, but we all agree that Giannis is the best player in the sport. I think they'll go over 52.5. I think Phoenix will go under 52.5. They did have a big win over Golden State last night, but I still don't know if they're all bought in with DeAndre Ayton probably not wanting to be there, and maybe at midseason or just before the trade deadline they move on from him. I still think there's a possibility that you see Ayton go to Brooklyn for Kevin Durant, and of course there'll be other pieces thrown in. So I'll go under for the Phoenix Suns, and I'm also going to go under in the Clippers. I think they're going to be a contending team, but we know that Kawhi is going to play what, at the most 60 games, and Paul George probably a few more than that. I don't know if that translates into a team winning more than 52.5 games. So I'll go over Milwaukee, under Phoenix, and under the Clippers.
You know, I think that, Sap, that's all good reasoning. With Milwaukee, I look, you know, historically at Mike Budenholzer is a really great regular season coach. And he won a championship too. But he's had multiple number one seed teams, even back when he coached the Atlanta Hawks. So I think the Bucks are a team that can definitely pull off the over their 52.5 projection there. And, you know, they should get healthier than they were last year, hopefully, with Chris Middleton returning from injury and stuff like that. I also wouldn't be surprised to see them be buyers at the trade deadline. That might be improve them as well. So I'll take them over. Phoenix, we talked about this in our Western Conference preview, Sap. We both are down on Phoenix this year with all the turmoil going on there, you know, with their owner, Robert Sarver, and DeAndre Ayton, and not getting along with Monty Williams, their coach. Jay Crowder is requesting a trade. So, you know, yes, they've looked good to start the season, but I still think that they'll be finished under that mark. And with the Clippers, Sap, yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, they're a team that very much values load management. 52.5, though, is, it seems like, I really want to say, that's like on the money, 53. It's close, so close to where I think they're going to be. But I will say under, because I think that Kawhi is still, it looks like, dealing with some lingering issues, and they're not going to play him as much as a team that could, you know, exceed that over under total. So I'll say under as well. And that moves us on to the defending champion, Golden State Warriors, Sap, who are at 51.5.
It almost looks easy that it should go over. They're so deep. Right. And you're going to see more of Jonathan Kuminga. James Wiseman's looked really good so far this year. Steph looks really good, as always. But it appears to me that Klay Thompson almost looks washed. I mean, he did absolutely nothing against Phoenix. His one-on-one matchup against Devin Booker was so one-sided. Then he actually got ejected from the game for the first time ever. I was never aware that Klay Thompson even ever got a technical. He seems like he's just, you know, on cruise control out there. I'm going to go over, though, because, again, if Curry plays 65 games, I think Draymond's playing for a contract. They're so deep. There's going to be a lot of nights where they're at home playing a team that comes in that maybe is on the back end of a West Coast trip and they'll dominate. So I'll go over 51.5 for the defending champs.
Yeah, again, Sep, I know we're agreeing on a lot of these, but I think we talk a lot about the depth of the Golden State Warriors. We talked about it in our preview of them, and I think that's what's going to carry them over this mark here. Yes, they have, you know, a star player in Steph Curry, who's, you know, you could make a case is a top three player in the league right now. And you got the guys that you mentioned, Thompson, Green, Jordan Poole stepping up. You have Kuminga, you have Wiseman, you have Moody, you have a bunch of players who are emerging too. And I think that that's going to be able to carry them to wins when they have to rest Steph Curry or Draymond or Klay Thompson. And so I like the over here. I think that they're going to end up as the one seed in the West. So I feel strong about that over there. And then we're going to go to a team, Sep. On this next one, I might have to cheat on the Philadelphia 76ers. They're 50.5 wins. I had them at the beginning of the season over, but they've looked so bad to start the year. I don't know what to do now, Sap.
Yeah, it just hasn't fit, right? And I don't know if Harden and Embiid will ever fit together. Harden's a tough guy to play with. I mean, he's ball dominant, and, you know, Embiid is the guy who they should run their offense through because he's an unstoppable force. Tyrese Maxey, I think, is a budding star. It looks to me like under, but never change your bet, Jet, because if you change your bet, then all of a sudden Philadelphia is going to get hot, right? And maybe they'll make a move approaching the trade deadline. We know they're always active there. So, you know, I think under, but don't change your bet, because when you change your bet, it always kind of backfires.
Okay, I will heed your advice since you're doing so well with your picks in the NFL. Maybe that'll translate to the NBA, and I'll go with my original reason for them being over is that I think, you know, they have a lot of talent, and I really like their offseason acquisitions of bolstering their bench and bolstering their starting lineup with PJ Tucker. You know, I think they got tougher. So I liked all the moves they made. It's been a disaster to start the season for them. That's why, you know, I'm trepidatious about this pick, because they've looked terrible. But, you know, when I was looking at this initially, I thought that this was ripe for the over, because Philadelphia last year was, you know, competing the whole year long for the top seed in the Eastern Conference, and they faltered a little bit towards the end as Joel Embiid missed some time. But they, you know, they very well could be the team that finishes with the best record in the NBA. And at points in last season, they did look like that. So, yeah, okay, fine, Sap. I won't change my bet. I'll ignore the early returns and say this team figures it out, and Joel Embiid can resume being the most dominant player in the NBA through stretches, and James Harden presumably will do what he does, which is have him far better regular season than he does in the postseason. And, you know, Tyrese Maxey will continue to emerge and Doc Rivers will figure it out. So I don't feel great about it, but I will, again, heed your advice, not change my bet and say over for the Philadelphia 76ers over that 50.5 mark. And then that moves us to a team that I loathe, the Brooklyn Nets, who are at that same number, 50.5, Sap.
I think they go under because, I mean, how much is Kyrie going to play? He always seems to miss 20, 25 games. Durant hasn't exactly been the most durable guy over the years. And Ben Simmons, he's done some nice things so far in the season. But do you realize that Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant are the two lowest rated defensive players in the league? Now, Durant, I think, is a good, solid defender. I always think of Ben Simmons being an elite defender. If that's the case, they're going to get into a lot of shootouts, and I don't know if they have enough firepower, despite the fact that they have Durant and Kyrie Irving. So I'm going to go under 50.5 on Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Sap, we've talked about this for years now. I hate Brooklyn. I can't stand Kyrie Irving. So I'm not. I'm blinded by it. I'm only going to pick under. I'm never going to, you know, pick any sort of success for them. I just don't know. The offseason was so up and down down for them with, you know, Kyrie and Kevin Durant's trade request. I just don't know how you can come back from something like that and have a really good season. We've talked about this before. I keep saying that, but we have. The Ben Simmons fit seems like it should be really good because he doesn't have to be the first or second primary scorer on the team. Although I've seen Sap through the first three or four games they've had, he's averaging like 5 shots a game. Like that, I mean, I know he's not the first scorer, or the second scorer, but he can't take 5 shots a game being paid what he's being paid and the expectations on him. That's just not a reasonable number of shots.
Yeah, this isn't hockey. He's not a lockdown defender. So you'll pay someone who's a lockdown defender in hockey a lot of money. You're not worried about his points. I mean, on the other end of the floor, he becomes irrelevant, although he's still a really good passer, rebounder, but he just doesn't seem to fit in yet. But again, very, very early. I just worry that these guys aren't going to play enough together to get over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should be scoring 15 points a game. I don't think that's an unreasonable ask for him. And you're not going to get there taking 5 shots a game. And none of them being threes. So
right, and then not being a really good free throw shooter either.
No, he's a terrible free throw shooter. So it's I you know, again, I'm coming at this saying I am blinded by hatred, but I'm still going to take the under, Sap.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the Denver Nuggets, who I know we both really like. So I'm assuming we're going to have like-minded picks here. 49.5 is their over and under.
Yeah, I like the over. I picked them to win the NBA championship. I think they'll have to win more than 49.5 games to at least be a 3 or 4 seed in the Western Conference. You just worry that Nikola Jokic stays healthy, which is obviously very, very important. But I think when everything pulls together with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and the additional pieces they've added on, I think that they're going to be just fine and they'll go over 49.5.
This is another team I could see at the trade deadline taking advantage of teams trying to tank for Victor Wembanyama, you know, adding a piece here, a piece there to bolster their bench, maybe another upgrade of one piece in the starting lineup. Because I think they'll think we can really go for it this year. You and I both really like, you know, the team when they're fully healthy. Jokic, as you mentioned, health is paramount for him, but he's been arguably the most durable player in the NBA the past couple of years. That can work both ways. Like the history says he's going to play, but he's played a lot of games. So eventually fatigue sets in. It certainly did last year in the playoffs as it was a quick exit for the Denver Nuggets. But I think the over is pretty safe here with Denver, especially if they, you know, are able to stay healthy. Health is the key for them. It's more so has to do with Murray and Porter, who have not been healthy throughout their careers. But if they're able to play, you know, 65 plus games, I think that this is a really safe over in terms of that 49.5 number, Sap. And that moves us on to the team that had the second best record in the NBA last year, the Memphis Grizzlies. They're projected for a 48.5 over under, which would be below what they were last year. How do you see the Grizzlies playing out, Sap?
I think a return to normalcy, I'll go under, although, you know, John Morant's picked up where he's left off. Desmond Bane's one of the best shooters in the league. They play defense, but again, that Western Conference is so deep and talented. I'm going to go under 48.5.
it seems logical to see that say that they would go under, right, Sap? Because it seemed like it was an overachievement last year. They didn't add anything in the offseason other than, you know, another year of John Morant continuing to, you know, get better and better, which is a nice thing to have, because he really has gotten better and better. As you see, he's already, like you said, picked right off where he left off last season. He's electric and probably the most must-watch player in the NBA. Again, I kind of want to cheat Sap because I thought initially under, but they are off to a great start. They look just like they did last year. But again, you said don't change your bet. So I guess I'll go under based off of I think they did overachieve last year. And so I'll say under, but they look just like they did last year, wouldn't you say?
Pretty much, yeah. Still good on the defensive end and still finding ways to win. And they are a team that seems to bring it every single night. And that you have to weigh that into picking over and under because there are teams that obviously have load management and don't always bring it. Memphis appears to have that type of culture where they bring it every night.
Let's go to three other teams, Sap, that have 48.5 as their projected over-under number. The Dallas Mavericks, the Miami Heat, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. How do you see those three teams playing out?
I think Dallas goes over because Luka is on a mission to win the MVP. I'd say that Miami goes under. They're so darn old. They really are, unless they make some sort of move at the trade deadline to get more explosive. So I think they go under. And again, the East has never been this deep. And the Timberwolves at 48.5, that's an intriguing team. I'm going to also go under with them because they may be the seventh or eighth best team in the Western Conference. Just look at how much firepower there is in the Western Conference. And if you're the seventh or eighth team, can you really win more than 48.5 games? Unless, you know, the bottom four or five teams have really just thrown in the towel and win no games. That's the only way the math works. So I'll go over Dallas, under Miami, and under Minnesota.
Yeah, for Dallas, I'm going to go over based off of purely Luka. Obviously, that's really the roster, Sap, is, you know, I was watching the other night. It's a terrible roster. It's really not good. I mean, it is Luka and nothing. So I like Christian Wood, but they don't seem to play him at the end of games, which is weird. But it's Luka and nothing. And so I think that he's so good that he can propel them to 50 wins, which would be, you know, slightly over Miami. I also think over Sap, because they seem to always overachieve with Eric Spoelstra as their coach. Jimmy Butler is just a guy who's just finds ways to win games. Yes, they're very old, Sap. They didn't add in the offseason. They are going to be looking to add for sure. I don't think, you know, Tyler Hero being inserted into starting lineup is the answer for them competing for a championship. But I do think that they're a team that is capable of winning 50 games and is always a team that's going to be competing night in and night out. And those are the and play defense. And those are the type of teams that have really good regular seasons. So I'll say over for them. Minnesota, I agree with you on the under there, Sap. I like Gobert that they added him, even though I don't think I think the value was crazy high that they paid for him, but ultimately they're better with him than without him. Seems like a weird fit with all these players. I think they're still trying to figure it out. I don't know that they have a guy. We like Anthony Edwards a lot. We like Carl Anthony Towns a lot. Do they have a guy who is, you know, that Ja Morant level that can just say, I'm winning this game no matter what happens, Luka Doncic level? I don't know. I don't think so, at least not yet. So I'll say the under for them. Sap, this brings me to your pick in the Eastern Conference. So I'm assuming this one's going to go over. Cleveland Cavaliers, 47.5.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to contend for the top seed in the Eastern Conference. They have four legitimate all-stars on that team. And, you know, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen up front. You get Darius Garland in the backcourt. Of course, Donovan Mitchell is going to try to prove that he's a superstar this year on a new team. And you put those four players together, if they can tweak the roster towards the trade deadline or maybe even sooner, I think they're going to be in play to win 53, 54, 55 games and challenge the Celtics and Milwaukee for that top spot in the Eastern Conference. So definitely over 47.5.
This might be my favorite one on the board, Sap, in terms of the overs. I think that they're going to be a team that's, like you said, on sort of a mission, especially in the regular season. Seeding is going to be important for them. So, you know, they're not going to be punting games. And you know, early returns, they're 2-1. They look really good. It seems like Mitchell is meshing well with the team. Garland's dealing with a little bit of an eye injury. When he comes back, they should obviously be even better. I think that's a, I feel very, very confident about that over. Cleveland should again be competing for a top three seed in the Eastern Conference. And they're a team, like you said, with something to prove. And they have young legs too, with Mobley and Garland, that have, you know, are looking to really establish themselves in the NBA. And a lot of the guys who are looking to become all-stars on that team too, Sap. So that's, you know, that plays into that regular season wins as well. All right, let's go to a few teams, three teams that have their over under at 45.5. The Atlanta Hawks, the Toronto Raptors, and your Los Angeles Lakers, Sap.
I'm going to go under 45.5 in Atlanta. Again, just the pure mathematics of it, how deep the Eastern Conference is. I mean, they may be the ninth best team in the Eastern Conference. Is that going to give them 46 wins? I don't think so. Toronto, I'm going to go over. Their culture is one of the best in all of basketball. They're so well coached. They also have a huge home court advantage, you know, being in another country. I mean, they don't have the situation they had last year where some teams would come in without players because of the, you know, COVID protocols, right, et cetera. But I'm still going to go over with Toronto, and I'm going to go under in the Lakers. I mean, I must have been concussed when I picked them to get to the Western Conference Finals.
You said don't change your bet, Sap.
No, but I had them under all along. I thought they'd be a team that maybe wins 43 or 44 games or gets hot at the last second. Maybe I should take my own advice, right? It's just, it doesn't look good. I mean, LeBron is playing at the usual high level, although if I had a message to my man, I'd say, you know, cut back on the threes, you know, do what you do best, which is attack the basket, maybe better than anyone that's ever played.
Half court the other day, that was an air ball. That was not a good shot.
Yeah, I think he sees Dame Lillard on the other side and says, I'm going to, you know, go mano-a-mano against Dame, who, you know, is as good a deep three-point shooter we've ever seen. Westbrook, that whole thing is a mess. If they can clear it up by moving on from him, then I think they'll be better off for it. They may just write him a check and tell him to leave. I don't know. I mean, he's causing all sorts of problems there. But for now, I'll go under Lakers. So go under 45.5 Atlanta, over 45.5 Toronto, and under 45.5 in the Lakers.
I really am struggling with that Hawks 45.5, Sap, because I think it's so close. I think they're going to win 45 games, so I will say under, just barely under. I really like Atlanta. I think that they're feisty. They always seem to play better in the second half of the year after the All-Star break, so I could see them ripping off some wins after that, after maybe a little bit of a slow start. You know, that backcourt is deadly with Murray and Trae Young. It's a really, really good backcourt. Murray covers up for some of Young's defensive inefficiencies. And Young, as we know, can, you know, just score with anybody in the league, and he's an elite passer as well. But I will say just slightly under for the Raptors. I also am going to take them under that again. I think that number is really, really close. I am waiting for Scottie Barnes to become a superstar player. I don't think he's quite there yet. And because the East is so loaded, I think that they might struggle in games where, you know, it turns out like, okay, it's Jason Tatum time. Who's going to go one-on-one with him? It's Giannis time. Who's going to go one-on-one with him? I don't think Scottie Barnes is at that level yet. He may get there. I know you're really high on him, but I could see them losing a lot of these close games to those, the cream of the crop in the East. And with the Lakers, you know, I was going to take under for them, Sap. I told you when we were doing our preview, I think their roster construction is horrible. It made no sense then. Makes no sense now. I don't know how Rob Pelinka got a contract extension. He's done a terrible job. I know a lot of that blame lays on LeBron too, but you know, LeBron is the player and he's still playing at a really high level. I don't see Rob Pelinka GMing at a particularly high level, Sap.
No, none whatsoever.
I do think a trade could help though, Sap. I really do. I think that.
Yeah,
that
I mean, if they can move Westbrook to Indiana, right, for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, that certainly would be some sort of improvement.
But it's, again, we're going to talk a lot about the Lakers over the course of the season, but right now it doesn't look that great. Moving on to the Chicago Bulls, who shellacked my Celtics the other night, Sap, and the New Orleans Pelicans. But we are going to wait on the Bulls. The Pelicans are at 44.5, Sap. Where do you have the Pelicans?
I've got the Pelicans going over 44.5 and the Bulls going over 41.5. The thing about those two teams is they have firepower, right? Like the Bulls put on an explosive offense against the Celtics. You know, DeMar DeRozan can put up 25 in his sleep. Zach LaVine's, you know, really good player as well. I think they'll get over that 41.5. And I also think New Orleans, because if Zion can give them 60, 65 games along with Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, I think that they're going to be a really feisty team. So I'd say over both New Orleans and Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to say over for New Orleans. That actually, I think, is a very good roster construction that they've done so well so far. They've drafted well. You know, they have these guys like Herbert Jones, Alvarado. They have guys, young guys, besides their star players, Ingram and Zion, who are, you know, really good, talented guys who fill a niche. They seem to know their roles and play their roles well. And I think that they are a team that's going to be competing night in and night out, because I think that's what Willie Green, their coach, is, you know, stressing to them. So I think that's a good bet for an over. Chicago 41.5. They do have a lot of talent on that team, Sap. And that's a number, man, at some of these numbers, Vegas is good at this. You know, they make it challenging. I will say over, but like 42. So barely over. They should get Lonzo Ball back at some point this season. What he'll look like, I'm not sure, but even without him, they still do have a lot of talent. You mentioned Zach LaVine, you mentioned DeMar DeRozan, they have Nikola Vucevic. They have a lot of talent on the team, so that should be able to carry them to over that. But I think they're going to be, like, you know, in that play-in area in the Eastern Conference, Sap. All right, now some teams that are, you know, we're starting to get into a little bit of the dregs of the league. 39.5 for the Portland Trailblazers, 38.5 for the New York Knicks.
I'm going to go under in both again, because I think they're going to be teams that are just on the outside looking in, even for the play-in tournament. I know Portland's gotten off to a great start, and Dame Lillard looks like he's back to being a superstar player after missing most of last year with an injury. But the West is so deep, I'm going to take under 39.5 Portland, under 38.5 Knicks.
I am going to go with the under for the Knicks, though the early returns on the Brunson thing, with especially working with Julius Randle, have been good. But it's just the roster is not that strong, and teams get very sick of being coached by Tom Thibodeau. So I'll say under there. Portland, oh man, I think that I'll go over, Sap. I think that they're at 39.5. I think they'll win 40 games, because I think Lillard will carry them to that. Maybe that's a little bit cheating by them starting 4-0, but yeah. I like them adding Jeremy Grant in the offseason. Anthony Simons looks like he has taken a major step forward in his NBA career. And so, you know, that's three scorers. Are they going to be a team that is going to have a chance to win a round in the West? I don't think so, but I think they'll be right in that play-in area, and I could see them winning 40 games, because I do think Dame Lillard, you know, is that guy who can propel you to being above water. And so, and they're clearly going for it, obviously, so they're not going to be a team that's tanking down the stretch. Now we have the Charlotte Hornets at 36.5 and the Washington Wizards at 35.5, Sap.
I'll go over Charlotte, under Washington. You know, LaMelo Ball is someone who I think has a big impact on the court and can get the most out of his players. Whereas I think Washington is still in kind of a quirky position right now, although Porzingis has looked pretty good, but how long is that going to last? So go over 36.5, Charlotte, under 35.5, Washington.
I'm going to go the other way around. I'm going to reverse it, Sap. I'm going to say under for Charlotte, over for Washington. For Charlotte, you know, there's a talent drain with Bridges not playing because he's a terrible person. That's about all I need to say there. They might trade. They're looking at trading potentially Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, you know, just as sort of a salary cap dump. So that should, you know, despite what you might think about those players, you know, losing them shouldn't make them better. So I think that they'll finish below that. I expect LaMelo Ball to have a terrific individual season, but I don't think he's a guy that can, you know, yet propel a team to way above what they should be. So I'll say under for them. And for the in terms of the Wizards, Sap, I like them just slightly over, because sort of like the Portland Trailblazers, Bradley Beal, you know, is going to compete and win you some games. And I don't think they're ready to go into tank mode yet. So I could see them being a team that, you know, is beating up on some of these really bad bottom feeders over the course of the year. So I'll say a little bit over for them. Let's do three teams here, Sap. The Kings at 33.5, the Pistons at 29.5 and the Magic at 26.5.
I'm going to go under in Sacramento, under 33.5. I like Detroit over 29.5. Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey. I think they're building the right way there. Orlando, I'm going to go over. Look, I was so impressed with Paolo Banchero against the Celtics the other night. He looks like he's a ready-made player at 19 years old. They've got some weird roster construction when they can put like 5'11" guys out there at the same time, and it seems to work. So I'll go over in Orlando. So under 33.5 Sacramento, over 29.5 Detroit, and over 26.5 Orlando.
I'm going to say over for the Kings. I like De'Aaron Fox a lot. I like Sabonis, but just barely over. You know, not a team that's competing for the playoffs. Over for the Pistons might be one of my favorite over-unders on the board, Sep. I really like the Pistons. I like everything they've done in the past couple of years. They're tough, and I think they're going to be a pain in the ass to play. The Magic, I guess I won't change my bet, Sep. I said under to start, and even though they've looked really good to start, I'll stick with under, though they have a lot of nice pieces on that team. They're just incredibly young, and it's going to be tough for them to win close games when you have an incredibly young roster like that. Okay, let's do the bottom teams now, Sep. The Utah Jazz are at 24.5. The Thunder are at 23.5. The Pacers are at 23.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go Utah over. I'm not really cheating there. I did pick them over. You know, they have some veterans on there. If they don't move them, then I think Mike Connolly and those types of players will win some games. I'll go under Oklahoma City. I think they're in obviously full tank mode, and I'll go under 23.5 Indiana. That may be the team that could end up with the worst record in basketball, especially if they move on from Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, which, as you know, a LeBron guy, I hope does happen.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under for all these teams, Sap. I'm going to say under for the Jazz, under for the Thunder, under for the Pacers. As far as the Jazz, who are off to a tremendous start, I think it's very likely Danny Ainge, you know, goes, you know, Tanya Harding and you know, really just bashes some knees. He's not going to let this team be good. He will trade whatever he has to do to tank for Victor Wembanyama. This is fool's gold to start. They're going to trade some of those veterans. Teams are going to want them. They're just not going to be good. I can't see it lasting. The Thunder, incredibly young, and they also seem like they don't want to play Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that much because they want to tank. So I imagine he's going to get traded at some point this season. They should be awful. And the Pacers, as you mentioned, are really bad. Though my guy Tyrese Halliburton, Sap, playing terrific basketball. The rest of the team, not very good. They're going to trade Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. It seems almost inevitable because they're going to want to go full on tank mode. So under for all three of those teams. And the final bottom two, Sap, Houston Rockets, 23.5, San Antonio Spurs, 22.5.
Yeah, maybe the two worst teams in basketball reside in Texas. I do like some of the talent on Houston. You know, Jalen Green is a guy who can win a handful of games by himself, explosive score. So I'm going to go over 23.5. And San Antonio, it's tough to go under 22.5 with Greg Popovich as your head coach. I mean, he said before the season started, you know, we're not going to be very good. And if we were, I'd be surprised. I mean, he's at the point in his career where he could say things like that, or the way Bill Belichick can hold back who his starting quarterback is before Monday night game and still hasn't declared who it's going to be. But I'll go over 23.5 Houston and over 22.5 San Antonio, just again with the math that they'll find ways to stumble into some wins.
We don't want to talk about the Patriots, Sap. That was ugly. If you know, we'll make an armistice agreement. I won't talk about the Packers. You don't talk about the Patriots. That seems like a fair trade.
Deal.
but as far as both those teams, yeah, they're just not very talented. I do like Jalen Green. He's somebody that I think could be, you know, a very, you know, 27, 28 point per game scorer in the NBA. He can just flat out score. But not a lot of talent on either of those teams. The Spurs, I think, I actually have the worst roster in the league.
They do.
And so, yes, they're off to a nice start, 3-1. Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches in the history of the league, but ultimately talent wins out in the NBA, not coaching. And so I'll say under for both of those teams, too. There's going to be a group of teams that are going to be in the second half of the year are going to just look god awful, Sap, because the tank's going to be on, despite what Adam Silver might threaten with relegation, which is never going to happen in the NBA. We can talk about that in a later podcast, but these teams are going to be selling pieces. And so as bad as some of these rosters look right now, they're going to look worse, whether they do load management, whether they fake an injury with somebody, or whether they trade off pieces. the top two picks are good enough where teams are not going to be actively trying to win games. And the players always try to win, but the teams will do what they can to limit that by trading off pieces, by, you know, resting guys. So I think that it's safe to say a lot of these bottom teams, for me, are going to be hitting those unders.
Yeah, you're looking at teams winning in the teens, right? Not even cracking 20 wins, which isn't good for the league, but there's a grand prize if they're fortunate enough to win the lottery, with Big Vic being that type of player, generational player that could turn a franchise's fortunes pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think Scoot Henderson, too, looks like somebody that, you know, could easily be a, you know, John Morant type of player that turns a franchise. Like, maybe not, you know, maybe it's not LeBron James, but it's Dwayne Wade, you know, which is not a bad consolation prize. So, yeah, I think those teams are going to be heavily invested in trying to get one of those top two picks. And so this seems like a season that has a good chance for some of those unders to hit. But that is our over and under, Sap. I think that, you know, again, it's hard to look at the first couple of weeks of the season and then stick to your guns with some of these picks. But I think we're trying to do our best there.
Yes. No cheating.
No cheating, exactly. But that's going to do it for us here at the Pick and Roll NBA Podcast with Jet and Sap. Thanks to Full Press Coverage as our presenter. And go check out their website, as there's lots of great stuff there. Not just our show, but many shows, many great articles and stuff like that. Check out our social medias for updates on the show and all sorts of opinions. And apparently Sap's on fire football picks. You're going to want to hit on those at John Sapp 25. I mean, hitting at 69%, you can win some serious money if you so choose to, Sapp.
Yes. Follow me, not into the abyss, but to the winner's circle, hopefully.
Exactly. And you can follow me at Jet Stryer. Our YouTube, if you want to follow the YouTube, is youtube.com/Jet Stryer. And the show, you can find wherever podcasts are found. Just type in the Pick and Roll NBA Podcast with Jet and Sapp. It's as simple as that. We'll be back later this week with a new edition of the podcast, talking about some surprising starts in the NBA, both good and bad. Some interesting rumors in terms of what the league office wants to do. And, you know, plenty of other drama that goes on throughout the NBA. We are never lacking for stories on this show. So we will talk to you later, everybody. Thanks for listening. See ya.